Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 12. Now, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly in prison, lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here. He will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as the rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. Amen.
Well, lighting your world is really what mission and service is all about. We're going to take the opportunity at our worship services this weekend to share a little bit about some of the many mission ministries that Glenmar is involved in. And by Glenmar, I mean you. The way you all interact with serving the world. The reality is, I've been at Glenmar for about 20 years, and I probably have the reputation for being the mission trip guy. Out of my long service with youth mission trips and so forth. Mission trips are one spectacular way to serve the world, but that's just one facet of the many ways Glenmar is reaching out and serving the others of this world. Today, we want to give you the opportunity to hear a little bit about ways that people are serving and ways that people have been transformed through their involvement in mission ministry. Some of the many ministries that Glenmar participates in include Habitat for Humanity. Glenmar volunteers monthly working up in Baltimore. We've completed over a dozen homes, worked on many, many more, and we've donated about $160,000 to support the work of Habitat over the years. Help End Homelessness Howard County is a partner. We're a partner with this organization. They basically address homelessness in our county one family at a time. We've purchased two condos which are being rented to formerly homeless families at below market value, and we're working to purchase a third unit. PATH is an ecumenical organization that focuses on issues of importance to Howard County residents. This year, PATH is working on health and education, immigration, transit, and jobs. The Route 1 Day Center. Glenmar was instrumental at working with Grassroots to open up the Day Center 9 years ago, and they recently purchased a brand new facility. Glenmar prepares and serves a meal there once a month. The Salvation Army Thrift Shop is open 10 days a month. Glenmar provides regular volunteers and financial contributions. And one of our longtime volunteers is Beth Kagi, and she's here to share a little bit about her involvement with this ministry.
Thank you. Like you said, my name is Beth Kagi, and I'm here to talk to you about a mission that is very near and dear and deep in my heart. When my middle child was still in high school, I was drugged to the thrift shop. My husband volunteered there one Saturday a month. He picked up furniture from people who had too much and gave it to people and put it in the truck, and they drove it directly to somebody who had too little. He loved his ministry. I just was upset that it took him away hours and hours on Saturdays once a month. So I got talked to by several people who volunteered at the thrift shop, one being dear Janet. Janet Franey. Was there a better saint? And she's the one that finally talked me into actually going to the thrift shop. And she walked me around and taught me about the thrift shop. And she told me something that day that is as true that day as it is now. If it has been made, it has come through the thrift shop. We get it all. We get everything. We take everything. But here's the thing. I started going, and I enjoyed the camaraderie, and I went one Saturday a month if it was convenient to me. And I got to know the people, and that was all fine and good, and okay, I've got a mission. But it wasn't until I was there on a weekday in the summertime. There had been a fire in Baltimore the night before. I saw it on the news. So who comes through the door, the service door, not the buying door, the service door, but a woman pushing a buggy that had a child in it holding a bottle. And that was all the two of them had in the world. Everything else had been burned up. And she came to us because she had nothing. And we set her up. We set her up with anything and everything she could need. That's when it hit me. The mission of the thrift shop. The mission of which I was a part. That was nearly 25 years ago. And I have been a steadfast volunteer ever since. We used to collect different piles for missions. And one of the, we collected unmarked sweats for the prison ministry. We collected blankets for downtown Baltimore. We collected whatever we were asked. We collected shoes for little boys to be able to go to church. It was one of the things we did. But there was a lady who came through, and she asked if we would save our African animal beanie babies. Beanie babies are like this big. Our African animal beanie babies for children in a hospital where she volunteered that had nothing. They had nothing. Nothing to hold on to help them get them through the experience of a hospital. So we saved them. Mary and Nancy and I saved them, got them in a big bag. She came back around and she said only jungle type animals because they wouldn't recognize the other stuff. So we did, and we sent those off, and somewhere halfway around this world, there were small, lonely, in pain children clutching a tiny stuffed animal. Because you donated, we volunteered, and she filled her suitcase with them and took them back. This is a mission that not only touches the people who work in it, that not only tunes our mind toward God and the hugeness of what he can do, but it also changes the lives of the people who receive it. The clients that come in every day. Now, in the beginning, we called ourselves the Christian Women's Thrift Shop. Then it became Christian Services of Howard County. And now we are Salvation Army. And let me tell you about Salvation Army. I have learned things. And, man, my money will go to the Salvation Army. My mother told me one time when my 7-year-old sister was lost overnight at Cooper's Rock that the Salvation Army came and sat up and served coffee and sandwiches through the night. The Red Cross came in. I shouldn't say this. I don't know what toes I'm stepping on. Had their pictures taken, and after midnight, they left. But the Salvation Army was there all night. So think of the Salvation Army when you have your donatables, when you have more stuff than you need, more things than you can handle, and you're done with it. Pass it on. Think of us. Think of the children with the little tiny stuffed animals. Think of the women with a baby that's all she had. That was it. Those are the kind of people we serve at the Salvation Army Thrift Shop. Amen.
One area of ministry that I'm imagining many of you have been involved with in the past would be the Wish Upon a Star ministry. This past Christmas, 2016, Glenmar donated gifts, food cards, and shoe certificates to 30 families, which totaled 149 people, 99 of which were children. We also donated to Grassroots, Fort Meade, and the Board of Child Care. Altogether, donations from Glenmar totaled roughly $55,000 to help others enjoy Christmas. One of our newer service ministries is the Day of Service. Over the past 3 years, these one-day events have had 1,700 different participants volunteer to serve in 20 different ministry areas, including preparing over 83,000 meals for at-risk populations. Half of the participants in these Day of Service events have been children and youth, and our children have led the way in many of our service and mission outreaches. The 30-hour famine, for years, Glenmar has participated in collecting funds for World Vision. The youth have collected over $135,000 for that. Green Team is a ministry where youth and adults do yard work in exchange for raising money to pay for mission projects. They made the decision to tithe 10% of their earnings, and they've donated $9,000 to mission projects and items at the church. They also collected over 60 kitchen appliances for the people of Hurley this past year. Operation Christmas Child, we've collected 1,600 shoe boxes, Christmas gift boxes, over an 11-year period. And mission trips. In the past 20 years, Glenmar has sponsored just about 102 mission trips, youth and adults. We've worked with 18 different organizations, 16 different states, 7 different foreign countries, 3,311 participants. A person who participated in her very first mission trip this past summer is Monica Wilson, and she's here to share a little bit about her experience.
Hi, good morning. I'm Monica. I am a ninth grader at Centennial High School, and I'm pretty spoiled. I've always had everything I needed, everything I wanted, basically, and everything, resources and opportunities right at my fingertips. So as you can imagine, when I was told that I'd be spending an entire week of my summer away from my friends, no Wi-Fi, in basically the middle of nowhere, I was livid. I did not want to go, like, at all. But I did not want to go. See, Hurley isn't about what I wanted. It's about helping the greater good. I remember arriving at Hurley High School and being greeted with a huge Confederate flag right there on the front door. I was like, okay. But after talking to my homeowner, Mr. Barrett, I realized that to the residents of Hurley High School, that flag means love and heritage. Most of the residents don't even know that's a symbol of racism. That brought up being mindful. Mindfulness is a term that me and my crew focused on for that week. Being mindful means to be cautious and aware of something, but it also means to be accepting and understanding of those circumstances. I remember Mr. Mike, one of my homeowners, his house, not much bigger than my own bedroom. That showed me how to be grateful and so thankful for what I have. My day went from waking up, getting ready, and going to school to waking up in my own bedroom, a safe house with working electricity, running water, making a hot breakfast, and going to a free education. The number one reason I loved Hurley so much is because of the people and the relationships I got to create with them. My favorite memory is lying on the porch with my best friend Megan on a Sunday, Thursday morning, listening to one of my homeowners talk about her family and getting to know them. I love the kids who just ran around, were all hands-on, or always outside. I loved how down-to-earth the people were, and I loved how happy they are. Their love and happiness was so contagious. You couldn't just walk into a room, and it was so overwhelming to feel all the love that they had for each other. Everybody was so connected. They all loved and cared for each other, and they always knew what was going on. I'm so thankful that Hurley brought me and my dad closer. I'm very connected with him now. Coming home, I realized that even with all of our advanced technology, we aren't connected like they are. I encourage everybody to have those conversations with the people you love and care about, or even with strangers. It really means a lot. I think Hurley opened my eyes a lot and showed me how I can really make a difference and how small I am, but how everybody can work together and help, how everybody can work together for the greater good. It's an indescribable feeling when you see the biggest smiles on people's faces, knowing that you help make them happy and you help put that smile on their face. You help improve their lives in some way. Hurley helped me so much to grow as an individual, and it I'll never forget the life lessons that it taught me. I can't wait to go back.
As someone that was there Sunday night when the group arrived in Hurley this year, yeah, Monica was that kid. I got the daggers looking at me the first night, but the transformation was sincere. Glenmar is also involved with Bridges to Housing Stability. Some of you longtime members might remember Church's concern for the homeless. Now Bridges to Housing Stability. We support their annual Hotter Than Thou chili cook-off. We contribute annually to their budget. As far as the cold weather shelter goes, Glenmar was the founding church in that program that began 14 years ago. We've hosted guests every year for 14 straight years. We have a partner church, Ames Memorial United Methodist Church, up in Sandtown in Baltimore. We assist with their ongoing ministries, including collecting food, clothing, school supplies for their giveaways. We help with their ongoing maintenance and repairs. We work with the Board of Child Care, which is the Baltimore-Washington Conference's ministry for at-risk youth, providing donations and volunteering for some of their many ministries. We also work up in Baltimore at Little Flowers with our college and career prep program, where we work weekly with children and youth in Baltimore to help them reach their full potential. A lot of the ministries that we work with focus on working with children, and here to talk about her passion for working through the ministries of Glenmar with children is Holly Flanagan.
Good morning. My name is Holly Flanagan, and I've been on a few mission trips with Glenmar. I've been to Haiti 3 times, Cherokee, North Carolina once, and I went on the Baltimore trip this past summer. I'm also a social worker with Howard County Public Schools. On each trip, I spend a lot of time with children, and I see God in the kids. In Haiti, the kids have so little. They come to school without backpacks, lunch, water, or supplies. These kids live in a one-room cement house if they are lucky. A few years ago, an earthquake devastated their part of the country. They do not have police, roads, garbage pickup, running water, electricity, a car, parents with jobs, matching clothes, sturdy shoes, reliable health or dental care, or enough food. Can we show that picture? Yeah. So here is a security fence, a way to keep your family safe in Haiti. That's the top of a cement wall, and they break off bottles, and they stick the broken glass bottles in the top of the cement wall. That's how they, and there's a little bit of wire there. And yet, 20 kids of all ages can happily keep themselves entertained for an afternoon with one soccer ball. Can we show that one? They play with no water, no shade, no referees, no goalposts, no adult supervising, no shin guards or cleats. And they play on a field on a hill, soccer on a hill, with rocks that is shared with cows and goats. And there's some of the older ones playing. The little ones, you know, they kind of get tired quicker, but they will play all afternoon. And yet, I can't say that it is just because they live in Haiti, which is one of the poorest countries in the world, that they do with so little. Because this summer, in Baltimore, only a 15-minute drive from Glenmar, it was similar. We were in a daycare, which DC just mentioned, where there was almost no supplies, games, or activities. Several classrooms shared one computer. When we went out for recess, there was no play equipment and only one or two balls for about 40 kids. But kids being kids, there was always someone to chase around, and there was happiness and laughter and a sense of community despite having little. So kids are kids, wherever you are, so much more alike than different. When I was in Baltimore, I felt like I was back in Haiti. And that is on the playground right near Ames. Children live in the world we create for them. They need protection, and God calls us to protect them and make the world a safe place for them. One day in Baltimore, we helped out at a day camp near our sister church, Ames, and that was the picture. And then here is our own, that's Becky Scher, who is in our group, and she's having her hair braided by one of the girls. Under a sign that's a little blocked from the tree, but it says, no shoot zone. And there is an artist activist in Baltimore who has painted these words at the site of 31 homicides so far, and he thinks he can get 75 done before the end of this year. There have been 265 homicides in Baltimore this year as of this past Wednesday. I feel God pulling on my arm to act. And yet it is not just children who are poor who need us. As I said, I'm a social worker with Howard County Public Schools. On Thursday, a student I was working with died by suicide. If you have a concern about a child, I urge you to act. You have a greater chance of helping if you act than if you don't. Don't worry about not knowing what to do. There are people who can help you figure those things out. The most important thing, and what God calls us to do, is to act with love. There are many places in the Bible that speak about protecting children and advocacy. But the one I would like to share with you today is from James chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." Thank you.
One way many of you participated in helping things at Glenmar is through our extreme fundraising ministry. Whether it's buying gift cards on a weekly basis, registering shopper loyalty cards, collecting and donating box tops, labels, printer cartridges, old cell phones, or a whole variety of things. Through all those efforts, Glenmar has generated over $250,000 of proceeds. Now, these have gone towards supporting inner city and rural schools, mission trip scholarships, donation to mission host organizations, family accounts that help pay for mission trips, and ministry grants for a wide variety of things, including just this past week, a $1,000 donation in support to UMCOR for hurricane relief. We support grassroots in a variety of ways. We've been collecting about 3 bags worth of food and other donations weekly for the past 3 years. Glenmar provides dinner once a month for the guests at the shelter. We do fundraising for grassroots through our annual Glenmar Golf Tournament and Silent Auction, which has raised $188,000 in the last 6 years. We also have a food collection ministry where we collect food on a quarterly basis to support local food closets and those down in Hurley. Yesterday, we had our 5th annual Glenmar 5K race, which was in support of the Howard County Food Bank. In 5 years, we've generated over $35,000 through the efforts of the 5K. Now, we've been hearing from a lot of specific involvement in missions, but you don't have to have one mission. You can be a generalist, too. So we're going to have Dave Eddy come up and talk about his connection to a variety of ministries, including the food collection ministry. But Dave is involved in a lot of pies, and we want him to share about that.
Good morning. As DC said, my name is Dave Eddy. And together with my wife, Val, and our kids, Laura and Colin, we've been members here at Glenmar for about 16 years. And I'd like to share with you all some of my perspective of the various ministries that DC had said I've been involved with. So when I was in high school, I always gravitated toward hanging out with the smarter kids. Not that I felt I was one of them, but I did enjoy the types of things that they brought up, the weighty political subjects that they talked about, their perspectives on life. These are the folks who, types of kids who are going to Ivy League type schools. My grades were okay. Good enough to get me into Maryland when Maryland was a pretty easy school to get into. I think most of us have kids who are facing that Maryland's a little harder now. Val and I, as I mentioned, we came to Glenmar 16 years ago, and we came because Val looked around for church and was looking around in the area and wanted to find a place that we could bring our kids to and expose them to various programs and ministries. And in her search, she enjoyed the message then that Pastor Andy Lunt had to deliver. She met a number of the people here at Glenmar, and looked at some of the Sunday school and the other kid programs that were here. And so she did all this, of course, while I slept in, and as well as let the kids sleep in. So when we chose Glenmar, I was really happy about that because it was only 15 minutes from our house, and I could get up at like 9:45 and make it still by the 10 o'clock service, and for me, it was a great place to come on a Sunday morning, most of the time, and it didn't really interfere with my life too much, but today through the mission trips, I think what I've discovered is I still enjoy hanging out with the smart kids and people like the folks we meet at the Hurley Development Center, Development Community Center, and the folks in the community who help all of the folks there. For over 20 years they've done this, and they've enabled hundreds of folks at Glenmar, adults and youth alike, to go and experience hands-on mission in a place of really desperate need. The other folks, like Holly was saying, from the Baltimore mission trip, gentleman Salim, who through his Mana House ministry down in Baltimore has fed and treats with dignity many homeless people and has done so for over 30 years. And Salim is probably, what, DC, like 80 or more, so still continues to do that. So yesterday, as DC mentioned, we held the 5K, the fifth annual Glenmar 5K. And when I pitched this idea to the church, the goal was to hold an event that would show off the church to the community, the immediate area, as well as allow people, members and friends, members to bring friends, coworkers, relatives, and kind of grow the church, just show off what we do here. In addition to that, as DC mentioned, we've been able to raise $35,000 for the Howard County Food Bank. So my enjoyment, like I said, of hanging around with people who really, are really very bright people continues to kind of motivate me, and learning from them as they serve others. The college and career prep that I'm involved with on the Tuesdays has so many of them as well. And I've had the privilege, like I said, on Tuesday evenings to go down to West Baltimore and kind of, just get an idea and work with the youth down there as they try to improve grades, as they look and get, become oriented to thinking about what's going to happen when they get older. And giving them, a lot of them have really, just self-esteem issues and things like that. So trying to build them up help them understand that there are opportunities out there for them, that they can achieve things. So I touched on a number of the ministries that I've been involved with, the missions I've been involved with, and they've all been, just very eye-opening and very rewarding. And like I said, the truly exceptional people that we have here are people who've sacrificed so much in service to others. And I know what I've learned from them, and that's mostly, and what I take from that into my daily life is how to be a bit more patient while I go about my normal business and dealing with people in the community, with my family, and with friends. And thanks, that's what I have to offer.
As Dave said, through involvement in the mission ministries of the church, he's involved with a lot of very smart people and DC. That's what they say in mission ministries. So, ultimately, when I think of what God calls us to do and be as people, I'm going to go to Paul's message to the Romans, where he said, we are supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I think mission is the way that we are transformed. You've heard stories of transformation. And I would lay this out there, that I think we are not transformed by staying in places we are familiar with people we know. I think our transformation occurs when we go to places and with people that we don't know. If you don't take anything else out of today's service, just remember this one thought. God calls us to be uncomfortable. And if you're comfortable, chances are you're not being transformed and you're not serving to the best of your ability. So as we leave today, let's look for those opportunities to go to places and to be with people that we're not familiar with outside of our comfort zone so we can be transformed. Amen.